Hello, welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Lansing Mayor Virge Bonnero has taken an unusual step. He's declared a housing emergency in the capital city. The declaration comes after a Southside Lansing hotel informed dozens and dozens of residents they'll be evicted in just the next few weeks. Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson is director of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department. She is with us now. Dr. Johnson, tell me, how are you feeling right now at your office with this housing crisis going on?
I feel like I'm drowning. It's a lot going on, a lot of people to place, a lot of people that shouldn't be where they are, and we're hoping that through our community partners and resources from the state, the county, the city, that we'll be able to improve the lot of life of the individuals, in particular the children and the seniors that find themselves in a situation at the Magnuson Hotel.
Tell us, can you describe the building and the living situation for these families?
Well, the building is an older building. The inside of the building certainly leaves a lot to be desired. I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I spent my honeymoon there when I was a student at Michigan State in July of 1970. The number of times I've been there recently, I told my husband I had a flashback. I don't think anything has changed, including the carpet, since then. So that gives you a rough idea. There are multiple issues, heating, cooling the first floor. They have a portable air conditioner in the lobby. It just needs, in my opinion, it needs to be grazed and start anew. It is not fit for anyone to live in that particular unit. And one of the challenges is we have families where there are 5, 6, 7 people in a household. I'm looking at some of the information right now. We have a 54-year-old, 48, 27, 22, 9, and a 4-year-old that's in one room with one bed. There are no cooking facilities. So this isn't housing. This is 2 steps away from being homeless on the street.
When do these people have to be out?
They need to be out on or before September the 12th, and at that time I'm told the owners will lock the building down.
What has to happen then, Dr. Johnson, between now and then?
Well, we're going to make every heroic effort that we can to assist people in finding housing, but you'll realize that one of the reasons that some people are here is poor rental history. We have some sex offenders that are there that have difficulties being lodged, but we also have Public Act 615, which is the utility program that indicates that individuals that lose gas, water, or light will have their houses red tag. And if you have subsidized housing, such as a voucher for Section 8 or Lansing Housing Commission, it's a violation of your lease, you will lose your housing. And people, we've got about 10 families out there that fell into that situation because of utilities. So if they apply for a state of emergency assistance from Department of Health and Human Services, they will say this is not a crisis season and denied assistance with utility payment. And I'm appalled at that, because if I lose gas, water, or light in my house, it's a crisis for me, regardless of the time of the year. So I think sometimes lawmakers don't realize that they create a worse problem, you know, for families, and then in the end, it costs us more to try to relocate folks and rehouse them when we don't provide some support and assistance.
Lansing Mayor Virge Bonnero has declared a housing emergency. Dr. Johnson, what does that let you do?
The housing emergency allows Lansing Housing Commission in particular to open up vacant units that they have and put people that find themselves in this situation, the Magnuson, they will go to the top of the list because of homeless or becoming homeless through no fault of their own. It hopefully will also allow Michigan State Housing Development Authority to filter down some additional Section 8 vouchers to the city.
The grassroots group Homeless Angels has been working with people in Lansing who need housing, and they put quite a few of these families in this very building. Has their work, in your view, helped or exacerbated the situation?
Well, I think that the heart of the Homeless Angels certainly is in the right place. Unfortunately, they weren't in a position to provide the support services that people needed to move on. We tried to work with them earlier this year. I took DHHS and a number of other human services agencies there. And, you know, we were only able to help a handful of people because the rest didn't follow through. We have identified a number of people that have been out there for 2 years. We identified a senior with a disability and an animal that's been out there almost 3 years. that's just unconscionable, in my opinion. But the homeless angels are not social workers, and I think they've tried to do the best that they can. They've done some fundraising. We're hoping that some of the dollars that they raise, that they'll use those to help us place individuals in housing, because coming up with that first month rent and deposit and clearing up any back utility bills will be a huge challenge. The city doesn't have the budget for that, so we're, you know, have open hands and hope that citizens and other individuals with dollars through the state or other resources will assist us. So groups like the Homeless Angels, you have to commend them for having their hearts in the right place, but, you know, they really need to be cautioned in that, is this your forte, and do you need to partner with other agencies with more experience? Sometimes is the case.
I have to wonder, why do you think more people didn't leave earlier? You say you've been reaching out for months. Why do you think more people didn't leave then?
Well, because I think they thought that their histories of rental, with, you know, if you have several evictions on your record, some landlords aren't willing to assist. But in our case, when we can guarantee that rent, you know, over a period of time, that should have been the difference. In other cases, I think it's been an open door policies where other relatives have joined them. I mean, to have some of the numbers that we have in place is just unreal for one unit. I'm looking at one where there are eight people in a room, and I asked the people at the Magnets, and they said, well, they have some double rooms. Even if it's a double room with a king bed, eight people, where are they sleeping?
This does seem like awfully abrupt notice. And the building's owner, Alvin Pei, lives in Singapore, very tough to reach, I'm told. What's his responsibility in this situation?
Well, the city is researching that to see, because we really, to say that realistically, we've identified 94 people, and that includes the children. To do this in this short time period would be almost a miracle. And so the city's exploring the resources that they have to see if there's a way that we can, in fact, you know, get some additional time.
Why do you think he's closing this building?
I think this is his way of getting rid of the homeless angels and all the homeless individuals that are there. I'm told by Mike Carl with the Homeless Angels that they wanted them to make a commitment to pay 12 to 14,000 a month for rent, and then pay for all of the utility charges.
Where do you think all of these people will be by September 12th?
Our shelters are full. You cannot find a bed in any shelter. We're hoping to move people, you know, who are ready to get out of shelters and open space. But I don't know, to be totally honest with you. And to even think of moving them from one hotel to another would be a total waste of resources that we don't have. So the ideal solution would be to buy some extra time and try to move people from there into housing.
Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson's the director of Lansing Human Relations and Community Services Department. Thank you, Dr. Johnson, for speaking with us.
Thank you.